Welcome, everybody. My name is Kent Seaton, co-founder of Athletes Touch with Justin Blaine. Welcome to the Tower of Power podcast that we've got coming at you right now. We're an exclusive community helping former pro and college athletes in the business world get ready to rocket fuel your ship, professionally speaking. I'm here. Justin, go ahead and take it away.
If you like great stories, sports, and success, you're in the right place. Buckle up and join us for a great ride.
You're about to hear an amazing story about a gentleman that came from the sticks of Minnesota, a farm boy, worked his way up from motorcycles all the way into an entrepreneur, where he sold literally hundreds and hundreds of thousands of products through his apothecary for men. Can't wait to hear him.
I just want to start out. I am so grateful to be here, listening to all you guys go through your quick elevator pitch about yourself. It's I feel like I'm the young gun in the room here compared to all you guys with all your cool stories and experience. So thank you for having me. Thank you, Kent. I really appreciate you reaching out, and we had a great talk the other day. So yeah, Chad Leeske, founder of Lucky Bastard Company, and super grateful to be here.
Okay, so Chad, we're going to do this sort of interview style, so I'll sort of cut in. You and I had a chance to chat the other day and found out some really cool stuff about you. But let's just start kind of from the beginning. You tell us about you growing up on a farm. What was that like? It was a small town. And so how did that sort of pave you a little bit as a person? Because I think it's been a big part of you.
Yeah, absolutely. It's one of those things that I didn't really appreciate until much later on in my life. But I grew up in a small town, population 910, Henderson, Minnesota. And my dad is a fourth generation farmer of German descent, you know, just the, you know, fresh black soil to grow, you know, really premier products. And that was kind of our family's, you know, all our family knew. So I grew up in that backdropping, but we were 3 miles from the town of 900 people. So it wasn't like we could just hop on our bikes and like go hit the neighborhood jump or whatever, you know, with the boys. It was quite the jaunt. We couldn't take that mission alone unless we were older and old enough. So we were really forced to create our own fun out there.
Awesome. Awesome. And so your mom and dad were very sort of proficient understanding organic stuff, medicine, things like that. Did they distill any of that on you? And how did that sort of relate to sort of your inspiration to come west? Maybe talk a little bit about why you came west and some of that as well.
Yeah, it's kind of a two-part answer to that. They both, like I said, my dad was, you know, been a farmer his entire life. And so he's been juicing for 30 years. And like, he was just so ahead of the curve. And he got into organics like way a long time ago. And so we were really instilled in that and kind of like taking the natural approach. And so the journey west, I was the first one to go to college. And I was actually an athlete before snowboarding. I was a basketball player. And I pretty much have spent more time playing basketball than anything else in my life. Lucky Bastard is getting close now. But I went to school at the University of Minnesota Duluth, where I played basketball for a year. And it was a D2 athlete. It wasn't like I was going to the NBA. But in my head, I thought I was, right? And like we all do. And then when I realized that in college, the way that they kind of control you as an athlete, I just wanted more freedom. So snowboarding was that outlet. And I guess long story short, I remember calling my mom freshman year after I couldn't get into the classes I wanted to, because now we had fallen to the bottom of the agenda. And I was like, Mom, I don't want to be here. I don't want to be in Duluth. I don't want to be in Minnesota. I belong in California. But essentially, my parents said that they wouldn't support me unless I got my college degree. And so I finished school. I got a bachelor in fine arts with an emphasis in jewelry making and ceramics and digital design. And I packed up my bags 3 days later and I drove to California.
Got it. So when you got here, What happened? I mean, did you immediately start thinking about business? Were you kind of figuring yourself out a little bit? And how did you start this brand? And maybe give us a little background on that as well.
Yeah. So when I got out here, I moved here. I was visiting like right before I was getting done with school because I wanted to lock down a spot or whatever. And if you guys are familiar with Santa Monica, on 6th and Santa Monica, there's a Goodwill. And it was an 8,000 square foot warehouse that a group of, it was basically a skate park lair. It was called The Lair. So there was two shows that were being filmed, two surf shows that were being filmed. There's like two sets in this 8,000 square foot warehouse. And I had one of the five makeshift bedrooms and I lived there for a year. And so I was really inspired by the guys that were living there, and they were doing like action sports broadcasting and doing shows with a lot of the biggest pros. And quickly I just realized, and it seemed very normal, like, oh, of course, this is Los Angeles. Like, everyone is cool. And it just felt like a very like inspiring nest for me to land in. And I just took it in full stride.
That's awesome. And so maybe you can talk about sort of the first product of Lucky Bastard. I definitely want to know how you came up with the name. So maybe give us a little bit of that background, but also like sort of the bigger picture and vision of your company. Take us through a little bit of that.
So like I said, we were designers in school, and we had to create, my brother and I were the two middle of the four. He followed kind of in my footsteps, but we've always, like I kind of mentioned, in the creating fun and just kind of building stuff and making stuff and whatever, that we both really enjoyed that. And so as we were in design school, we had to do a branding assignment that used our initials to create a mock service or brand just to get us, you know, going to make something. And my brother's initials were LBL. And so Lucky Bastard Lip Balm was formed. And that was kind of like the jump off of like, that's cool. I was always an avid user of a Burt's Bees or a Chapstick. It was kind of one of those moments where like we were just waiting to pour our heart and soul and our passion into something that was our own. We were both doing branding work for other people, Red Bull or ESPN or whoever it may be. And after that class, that concept, it kind of just sat dormant for a little bit. And on our way home from Mammoth, we're like, hey, let's work for ourselves, you know, like let's do that big, you know, stereotypical entrepreneur. Like when we called our parents, we're like, hey, we want to do this. We knew that if we wanted to make a lip balm of all things for men and make it cool, it had to work. I was like, if I'm going to put my name behind a lip balm of all things, it's got to be very, very legit. So what we do, we started infusing oils. Our parents kind of like, you know, kind of held our hand through this experience and saying, this could be great for healing. This would be great for protection. This is great from the sun, yada, yada. And that was the first product we made, was the lip balm. And that formula that we came up with is still the one that we use today. With that being said, we created the formula because we knew that if we, you know, went out and got someone to make a 19-cent lip balm with our label on it, there was no longevity in the brand. And so we were hand pouring these lip balms, and I've hand poured over 250,000 lip balms. As the orders would come in, we would just keep going, you know, and like we had no choice. At the time, as we were scaling it, there was no other option. And I mean, we did a Kickstarter video that we raised like 60 grand, and that kind of jump started us into the trade show circuit. And then we started getting into bigger, you know, bigger locations, and then entered into the big box realm. And at that point we knew that we had to find someone else because we couldn't sit and hand pour, you know, all this product.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. So you literally were hand pouring, and now you've gone to a true operation. And just, you know, briefly talk about that transition, maybe some of the growing pains, even some personal you needed to overcome, you know, for that to kind of flourish.
Yeah, well, and it kind of goes back to what we were talking about a little bit earlier, is that, you know, I was an artist at heart. You know, I'm super grateful for how it all unfolded, but it quickly escalated into something much more. And so as we were pouring them, we just knew that if we were selling and we sell our lip balms for like $6 to $8 a piece. But with that being said, I mean, if you want to make $1 million in sales, you got to sell a lot of lip balms. And we quickly realized that we needed to get some help. And so we ended up finding a contract manufacturer, actually, that I was looking at the bottom of one of our lip balm tubes just because I was trying to cut costs. And on the bottom of the tube, made in Chaska, Minnesota, which is 20 minutes from where I'm from. And I knew they were made in the U.S. because I wanted to support local, you know, containers and stuff. And I called them. I said, hey, I'm a Minnesota boy, and I am running a lip balm company of all things in L.A. I need to place an order directly so I can save some money. And so they dropped off two pallets full of lip balm tubes that I filled. And then essentially she was like, you know, we run a state-of-the-art facility where we could fill these for you. And that was a real breaking point for us, is because, you know, it was a trusted place that we had worked with before. It's in our hometown, our home state, close. And so then we started scaling, and we were able to get, you know, lip balms 100,000 at a time.
That's awesome. Pretty amazing small town story in a weird way, right? The world circles around again and again. That's incredible.
Welcome to the intermission. Kent, who's this group for? Is it for Super Bowl champs?
Check.
How about cross-country skiers?
Check.
How about Olympic synchronized swimmers?
Triple check.
So it sounds like anybody who has an athlete's mindset or mentality could qualify here.
Quadruple check, Justin. This group is a rocket fuel power community for former athletes to use their state of mind to succeed in the sport of business. How many lip balms have you sold to date now?
So, I know that how many we've gone through. We're almost at the 500,000 mark. A lot of it, especially with product like that, we can, you know, seed them and give them away and stuff. So I'd say we've sold about 400,000 lip balms to date. And then we jumped into a bunch of other products as well as I'm sure we'll probably touch on.
And those products, similarly, the recipes, if you will, homemade. Tell us, are they sustained? I mean, you know, what is the real sort of constituency of that, those products?
Yeah, so the next product, I mean, and like I was saying, you know, we weren't doing this to get rich. We weren't doing this as a, how do we make another product and exploit it? It was like, okay, well, we crushed the lip balm thing and we made a product that people are very confident in it. Like, they're confident to use. They're really enthusiastic about it. People that you'd never expect. It was a pretty cool thing that we realized, and we realized the way that you package things and with a cool name, you can really instill confidence in people. And so while the beard industry was really pumping during this time, we wanted to take a different approach. And because we're beachside and we're in the water all the time, we're in the mountains, we wanted to do sunscreen, because that was another thing that a lot of men feel like they're too macho for, or they don't use it, or whatever the reason may be. But if it comes in a cool package and it says Lucky Bastard on it, it kind of instills a different feeling for these guys. And for us, you know, for myself, we were making it for us. And so as some of you guys have probably seen, like in Hawaii and Australia and the Florida Keys, a lot of sunscreen has been banned because of harmful chemicals. And so when we were thinking, like, we want to make another product that, you know, guys would think about differently, sunscreen was the first on the list, and that's what we did. So we went, and we can't make sunscreen like we did lip balm, right? Because the FDA is involved. And I was warned by my mentor, you know, lip balm is great and you guys really crushed it. But to go to sunscreen, this is the most regulated cosmetic product on the market. It's going to be a much different trail to get to where you want to be. And with that being said, we had to get a team of chemists and we had to work in R&D for a year to develop the consistency we liked with a natural approach, and keeping the integrity of our recipe and our brand intact, so we weren't, you know, again, selling out or selling something that we weren't confident with.
Right on. So you guys are, it's more than just a lip balm company. It's an apothecary, right? So in your vision, where do you kind of see this going? And then part of that also include what, you know, who your next hire is, you know, like the most important next hire that you're going to.
Yeah, I mean, this is really, you know, strange times, like it is for most people. For us, just being that about 50 to 60% of our business is wholesale accounts. So, you know, all of our local shops that are, we kind of shoot for like the dais of every town, but all those shops are closed. So 60% of our revenue has taken a hit right now. So it's kind of hard, but where we see ourselves in the path that we've been on before is, you know, we want to have everything that a man would need on the road for his dog kit. You know, we want to go into deodorants, shave cream, moisturizers, maybe even some like eye serums and stuff, kind of like a, you know, a hybrid between like a Kiehl's and a Lab Series or something, but for the more like for the real man, for the grit, for the, like someone who's out in the elements. And with that being said, with all those products, we're going to follow that same, you know, line of the integrity in the recipe and making sure that it's something that we approve before we into the market.
I was curious, how much do you put into marketing? And with this great forum of athletes and your whole product seems like it's a perfect crossover. I mean, it seems like an opportunity to get athletes involved for promotion.
Totally. And snowboarding was a great outlet for us just because that was what we were into. And so, like, I don't know if you guys remember, but in the Winter Olympics, Red Gerard was like the kid that left his jacket at the hotel and he had to like compete in his buddy's jacket, and then he won the gold medal when they're sharing, giving back the U.S. coat to each other while they're dropping in on the jump. But he was kind of the talk of like good, you know, he went totally viral as like a 17-year-old who stole the gold medal with someone else's jacket on. But to what you were saying is in marketing and in ad spend and all that stuff, we mess around with ad spend. It's it's still a very small team. We're very lean. We outsource a lot of our work. And so we've worked with a couple of different people, and I'm bringing it back in-house, which kind of will lead me to the next hire question. But to answer your question, like, Red posted a photo, like, I just hooked him up just like I will with you guys, and I'm serious about that. I just gave him a shirt, and I gave him some lip balm and some stuff, and he went to Lake Tahoe like 3 weeks after the Olympics, and he posted a picture of him, and the back of our shirt says smoothest kisser in town, because it's just an attention getter, but it's also like, oh yeah, it's a lip balm company. But he posted that picture, and we had more sales in 24 hours on that day than we did on Black Friday.
This is good stuff. Any other questions? Anybody?
Yeah, I got one here. I was messaging Kent to see if he would ask it, but then Justin jumped in. So, Chad, thanks for sharing your story and your path. It's fascinating. Obviously, in the midst of everybody quarantining, we're all getting a little bit of hair. I generally have a beard at all times, so I was curious if you guys are going to do any, like, beard oil or anything like that. I saw you guys had, like, a little beard comb on your website.
Yeah, and it's interesting you asked that, and it's been a question that's been kind of been asked for a couple of years now, and we are, and the funny thing is, man, is I've developed it, and I have it. I have a beard balm. I have a beard oil. It's really weird, you know, being like this, essentially like this artist running a brand. Like, I really take things into consideration, and I look at, like, our competition, and I look at, I walked into a trade show. I remember I used to go to Agenda as a snowboarder and just be like, yeah, like, this is the coolest shit around, all these brands giving us cool stuff and yada yada. And then they invited Lucky Bastard to go there, and they're like, we want to give you a formal invitation to show at this trade show. And I, you know, this is like 5 years ago, and I grab our little display box and I, like, our sign that looks kind of like this one a little bit, but it was hand done. And it was just like me at a little table, a booth, like, across from Adidas, and I'm selling fucking lip balm. And I was just like, this is crazy. Like, I felt like, is this all right? Like, am I going to make it out of this alive? Like, I feel like my buddies are going to laugh me out of the room if they see me here. But turned out we got Rookie of the Year, and we had more POs than anyone at the show that day. And it was an amazing thing. But why I say all that is because there's so many people that are making beard products that I just was like, I don't know. You know, like, do I want to jump into that category? Because no one had done lip balm, and sunscreen was the same thing. But yes. And if I don't have it released in time, just send me a DM or an email, and I'll send you some of the low-key moonshine ingredient list.
Awesome. Anybody else?
And we're going to obviously very artsy and creative. How have you managed the intersection of the creativity and the business side? Have you felt like you've ever had to compromise the one side to make the other work?
Yeah. That's a great question. So and that was the thing that me and Ken spoke about on our phone call too. It was, I just love to create, you know, I love to build stuff. And whether it's in, like, right now during this quarantine, I just moved into this place where I'm Zooming from right now. And this garage, like, 5 weeks ago was stud work and an unfinished garage with bird shit from 1952. And, like, I just, you know, took my air compressor and sprayed everything down. I put up all the drywall. I painted, I mudded, you know, I just love building shit. And I knew that, you know, this was a big thing for me to get this space. But using the creativity was, like, as long as I was moving, half of my day was towards building or doing or creating it. And then I get to work with my brother, who's, you know, our art director. And collectively, we've done every piece of branding that you see, any branding, any photo, anything that we've done, we've built, you know, all of our labels, all of our stickers, anything. And so it kept us busy. And then as we started scaling, we needed to do less of that, essentially, because we had to do so much more of, like, the administrative work of keeping this business going and learning how to, like, you know, properly scale. Like, oh, what, I need to file taxes? Like, I don't, you know, it was just like, it was kind of like two kids running a business that had no idea. But so we were just, you know, we were really in the early years, it was like creating videos. And then as I, you know, found myself, and today we edited our new like lookbook video that we'll be launching soon. But, you know, I'm even doing that. And I produced the whole video shoot and came up with all that stuff. So it's basically this whole brand has been a way for me to pour all of my creative juices into a company. And it's just so funny that the end product is men's skincare. You know, I would have never imagined me, like, hustling lip balm as a 30-year-old man, but, you know, here I am, and I'm really enjoying it. It's And to go to the question that Kent asked about the next hire, it's a super important and relevant thing for us. Well, and I mean, backstory is right before the coronavirus, like literally, I mean, I was going in, March 1st was the day that, my birthday is February 28th, and March 1st, I was going to raise money for our first round. And it's obviously, things are much different now. But the goal was is to hire, a head of operations. And that's something that is going to be the biggest thing for me, because it would just alleviate so much of the stuff that I don't want to do and open up the doors for all of the creative stuff. And me being the leader of the brand and me being the lucky bastard, like I need to be able to be free and doing things that are cool and inspiring and not sitting behind a computer and stressing about shit that I don't like to do.
Yeah, thank you. That was awesome. If we had more time, I'm sure we'd have more questions. We'll have to bring you back to another group so you can continue to share your story and your growth. We really appreciate you. Let's go support Chad's business. Thank you for coming out. Awesome story. Victor, thanks for bringing him and introducing him. We do appreciate it. Another great story in the books. Who's inspired with me? Kent, where do people go from here?
God, Justin, I'm so glad you asked me that question. Everybody today, we're so excited to have you on this show. If you're interested in our Rocket Fuel Accelerator, if you'd like to join membership at Athletes Touch, go to our awesome website at www.athletestouch.co, and we'll see you soon. If you want to look us up on our social handles, LinkedIn and Twitter, Athletes Touch, @Athletes Touch. Thanks, guys.